Tonight's message is when the going gets tough. That's the study this month is on when the going gets tough. And how many here tonight know that if you are alive and stay alive for the years to come, that the going will get tough? You agree with that? Life is not easy. It's not a bed of roses. It's not peaches and cream. You know, financial difficulties, illnesses, loss of relationships or jobs, emotional hardships may make life very tough for you and for me. But we serve a God who is tougher than any problem that would try to beset our lives. You know, even before I received the chapel schedule for the month, I sensed that I should speak on miracles tonight. And a miracle, according to Wikipedia, is an event not explicable by natural or scientific laws. Say it again. A miracle is an event not explicable, explainable by natural or scientific laws. Another dictionary says that a miracle is an event that surpasses all human or natural powers. A miracle is something that is supernatural. It's beyond the realm of the natural. And how many here tonight know that the God who created heaven and earth, the God who created you and me, is a miracle-working God? Could you say amen here tonight? Amen. The God that we serve by faith in Jesus Christ specializes in making impossible situations possible. You know, as the angel told Mary concerning the birth of Jesus, for nothing is impossible with God. That's found in Luke 1:37. For all things are possible to those who believe. We serve, say it with me, I serve a miracle working God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's passage is Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 28. Exodus 14, 1 through 28, the crossing of the Red Sea. And it says this, I'm reading from the NIV. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. Verse 4, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with the officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they encamped by the sea near, I'll just say Pi, opposite Baal Zephon. Verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Verse 19, then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind, and it turned into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and the cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let us get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." So God had the backs of the Israelites, right? Verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. See, as Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind, and he turned it into dry land. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. Isn't that awesome? If this isn't a miracle, I don't know what is. The water literally split a wall to the right and a wall of water to the left, and in front of them it was dry ground. This is a miracle. Would you agree? Only the miracle-working God that we serve could have done something like this. You know, the going got really tough for the Israelites, but they served a God who was tougher than their enemy, Pharaoh and his armies. Guess what? Guess what here tonight? The same God who delivered Israel is the same God that you and I serve. The creator of heaven and earth who delivered Israel from the Egyptians is the same God that we serve in 2015. What does the Word of God say about Jesus, God the Son? It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does this mean about Jesus? It means that Jesus never changes. Say it with me. Jesus never changes. He is still the miracle-working God the Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's found in Hebrews 13:8. The God who delivered Israel from their enemy, friend, can also deliver you in your present state. So my question to you tonight is this. What tough situation are you facing in your life right now? Think about that tough situation that you may be facing in your life at the present moment. I don't know what it is. Only you and God know what that is. Is Pharaoh's horde of financial difficulty pursuing you tonight? Well, I've got good news. God can deliver you from financial difficulty. Is Pharaoh's horde of physical illness on your tail right now? Well, I've got good news for you here tonight. God can deliver you from sickness and disease. Amen. Is Pharaoh's horde of loss chasing you at this time? I've got good news. God can deliver you from loss. He can restore what the enemy has taken from you. Is Pharaoh's horde of emotional distress on your back? There's good news. God can deliver you from emotional distress and mental torment. What does God require of us is the question. For God to deliver us, what is He requiring of you and of me? Seeking Him. Anybody else? Obedience. Anybody else? Confession of Christ. That's good. All right. Those are good answers. God can deliver us. God can deliver you, but He requires from you and me the same thing that He did for Moses and the Israelites. He requires faith. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, the people were afraid. Exodus 14, verse 13. It says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid." Why did he say that? Because the people were afraid. They were fearful. Moses was full of faith. He said, "Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." So Moses was a man that was full of what? He was full of faith. And that's what we have to have in our hearts towards God. We have got to have faith. And if we've got faith, God will deliver us from Pharaoh. God will deliver you from the enemy that is pursuing your life tonight. Could you say amen to that? Amen. He's looking for faith. Faith is knowing that you know deep down on the inside that the miracle that God promised you, God will do in your life. Fear, tormenting fear, is of the devil. Faith is of God. Fear expects the worst possible outcome. But faith, on the other hand, expects what? The best possible outcome. And Moses said to the Israelites, the Lord will fight for you. And I tell you tonight that God is going to fight for you. God has got your back. Don't fear the enemy that's pursuing you tonight. Don't fear the enemy that's on your tail tonight. God is going to deliver you, but you have to have faith. Amen? And obedience. Faith is a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that God will do the miracle for you. I mean, the New Testament is full of miracle accounts. Remember, Jesus was in financial need at one point. Maybe you're in financial distress tonight. Maybe the enemy of financial hardship is on your tail. You know what? God can deliver you. In Matthew chapter 17, you can write down these notes, verses 24 through 27. It says this, Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, and the collectors of the temple tax came to Peter and said, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon, he asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? From others, Peter answered. The sons are exempt, Jesus said to him, but so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Jesus performed a financial miracle right then and there with Peter. There was money in the mouth of the fish that Peter caught, and he was able to pay the temple tax. And if you're going through a financial hardship tonight, God can do a miracle financially in your life. He can get you a job, or he can get you a better paying job. Amen? Amen. You know, most of us are not going to find money on a tree, or it's not going to just appear in your hands. You know, we're going to have to work for it. But God can provide you with that job you've been believing for. He can provide you with a better paying job. Amen? So that you can overcome this enemy of financial distress. Matthew chapter 9, there was a healing miracle. The two blind men, they had the enemy of sickness on their back. Matthew 9, verses 27 through 30. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Their yes was a confident yes of faith. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you. And their sight was restored. Maybe sickness is besetting you tonight. Guess what? We serve a miracle-working God. We serve a God that eliminates and can eradicate sickness and disease from your life. Could you say amen here tonight? Amen. Say it with me. I serve a miracle-working God. The God who delivered Israel from Egypt is the same God who can rescue me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 14, there was a son, the only son of a widow who died. And so she was in great distress, emotional distress. She was in pain. She was grieving. You can find this in Luke 7, verses 11 through 14. And Jesus showed up on the scene. Jesus, God the Son, showed up on the scene, and he brought this dead boy back to life. She had lost her son. She thought he was dead forever. But Jesus restored the loss. We serve a miracle-working God. And he can restore the loss in your life. Maybe you lost a relationship. Maybe it was somebody that you loved that separated themselves from you. Maybe divorced themselves from you. Maybe it was the loss of a job, the loss of a career. Guess what? God can restore it back to you. Is that good news? But what does God require? God requires faith. He requires faith. He requires a persistent faith, a faith that does not give up. You know, Abraham, he waited how many years for the promised son through whom the great nation would come? How long did Abraham wait for the promised son? God promised to make him a great nation. How long did Abraham wait for that promise to be fulfilled by the birth of Isaac? When God made the promise to Abraham, remember, Abraham was 75 years old. When Isaac, the promised son, was born, how old was Abraham? He was 100. So if you take 75 minus 100, you have how much? 25 years. In faith, he believed God 25 years without wavering that God would do the miracle in his life that God had promised him. How long have you been waiting for the miracle of God in your life? A week? 2 months? A year? 2 years? Come on now, don't give up. Persist. Keep on keeping on in Jesus' name. Amen. If God said he'll do it for you, God will do it for you. If Abraham waited 25 years, we can wait some. Amen? Yes. See, when the going gets tough, the tough in God by faith get going. Amen? God will deliver those who have faith from their enemies. He will deliver them from Pharaoh's hordes. Another thing, along with faith, God also requires what? So you can have faith. You can have this knowing on the inside. You can have this belief that God will deliver you, and that is good. But God, along with your faith, requires another thing. What is that? He requires obedience. He requires action on our part. Exodus 14, verse 21. What did Moses do? It says this, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind, and it turned into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. So Moses, along with his faith, had what? He had action. What did he do? He stretched out his hand over the waters. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight that God is super. And when you add the natural, what you can do to the supernatural power of God goes into effect in your life. Is that good news? Let me say it again. God is super. And when you add natural, the thing that you can do to God's super, the supernatural power of God goes into effect in your life. Could you say amen to that tonight? So for instance, you may have high blood pressure. You may have diabetes here tonight. Maybe you like sugar a lot. And you're believing God to completely heal you from the high blood pressure, high cholesterol, the diabetes. God can do it, right? By faith. You can believe God to deliver you from that sickness. But guess what? You've got to do something in the natural. You can do something in the natural. What could you do in the natural to see the supernatural power of God go into effect in your life? You can exercise. You can eat right. You can change your diet. You can cut out the sugars. You know, you can cut out the fatty foods. That's doing something in the natural. And when you add the natural to God's super, the supernatural will go into effect in your life and you can be healed in your body. Is that making sense? Financially. You can believe God to deliver you financially from money to pay your bills, to have a place to live, to have a car to drive, right? But you've got to do something in the natural to see the miracle working power of God go into effect in the financial part of your life. You've got to do something in the natural added to God's super for the supernatural to go into effect in your finances. What could you do in the natural? You can tithe, that's good. Anybody else? You can start filling out job applications, but not just one day or 2 days or 3 days and then give up, but do it day after day until you land an interview. And if that doesn't go well, then interview again and don't give up. Keep doing it until you land the job. That's doing something in the natural. So God requires faith plus action. God is super. Do something in the natural, and the supernatural will go into effect in your life. You might be in emotional distress tonight. Maybe you're grieving over a loss. Maybe you're depressed. You just stay in your cave. You don't want to see anybody. You don't want to eat. You don't want to get up in the morning. So you're emotionally distressed. Well, guess what? You can have faith that God can deliver you from the cave of depression. But there's something you can do in the natural. What is that? There's something you can do in the natural. You can start stepping out beyond yourself and reaching out to somebody who is in greater need than you. You might be saying tonight, well, I'm in such great need myself. Look at me, I'm at the shelter. They feed me here. I have no money. But guess what? There's somebody in greater need than you here tonight, living on the streets of downtown Tulsa, sleeping under a bridge, sleeping on a street. There's somebody in greater need than you tonight in downtown Tulsa. You can touch that person with the love of God. You can buy them lunch. You can spend time with that person. Is that making sense? That's doing something in the natural. If you do that in the natural, guess what? You'll start stepping out of your depression. Because a person gets depressed when? When does a person get depressed? A person starts getting depressed when they're so focused on their problem. If your problem becomes the entire focus of your life, you're going to be grieving, you're going to be depressed. But as you start concentrating on reaching out to others, guess what? The focus on your problem becomes less and less as you focus on somebody else. And that depression will start leaving your life. Is that good news here tonight? Yeah. Could you say amen? Amen? So God is a miracle worker. We serve Him. We love Jesus. He wants to do a miracle in your life. But what does He want from us? Number one, faith. Knowing that we know that we know that He can do it for us. And number two, action on our part. Amen? And it all starts with faith in Jesus Christ.